Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has sharply rejected claims that the cabinet intends to pave the way for legal changes that would weaken the role of parliament in times of crisis. The government is finalizing the details of an emergency aid package for entrepreneurs and employers to mitigate the impacts of the coronavirus crisis. And Czech singers have released video clips celebrating the country's frontline heroes. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has sharply rejected claims that the cabinet intended to pave the way for legal changes that would weaken the role of parliament in times of crisis and put more powers in the hands of the government. The weekly Respekt and the news site Aktualnie.cz wrote on Monday that the Defence Ministry is preparing a draft legislation to that effect to be debated by the government in the coming days. According to Defence Minister Lubomír Metnar, the government was only to receive suggestions from a group of experts regarding the possibilities of resolving crisis situations. He said the document had been commissioned as a set of guidelines for crisis situations when the government or parliament were not action capable. The Prime Minister reassured politicians and the public that no such document would be discussed, saying the ministry should have known better than to come forward with such an initiative at the present time. Meanwhile, the Czech government is expected to finalize the details of an emergency aid package for entrepreneurs and employers to mitigate the impacts of the coronavirus crisis. These include a six-month moratorium on mortgage and other loan repayments and the sum of 15,000 crowns a month for all who are forced to close their businesses within the restrictions imposed by the government. The Kurzarbeit system, approved by the government earlier to try to prevent massive layoffs, should be launched on April 1st. The Czech government on Monday extended the restrictions on movement and business taken to combat the spread of the coronavirus until April 11th. All persons returning from abroad will be placed in a two-week quarantine in line with a new measure aimed at containing the spread of the coronavirus approved by the government on Monday. The decision was taken in view of the worsening situation worldwide. Up until now, only persons returning from so-called high-risk countries were placed in quarantine. The measure will not affect cross-border health workers, fire crews, social workers, or diplomats. The number of coronavirus cases registered in the Czech Republic crossed 3,000 on Tuesday morning, with 184 new cases registered on Monday. The number of deaths is now at 23 and the number of those who have recovered at 25. According to Health Ministry statistics, 277 people are hospitalized with COVID-19 and roughly a fifth of them are in serious to critical condition. The present state reflects the ministry's projections from last week, according to which the number of infected was expected to reach the 3,000 mark by the end of the month. The first case was reported on March 1st. A group of Czech singers have come together to produce video clips as an expression of gratitude to those fighting the coronavirus epidemic on the front lines. Ondřej Brzobohatý, Olga Lonová, Marta Jandová and Vojta Dyk created the songs Life and Never Give Up for the country's doctors and nurses, firefighters, police and social workers. The video clips have been released with an appeal for financial support to the Czech Association of Nurses. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Wednesday should be clear to partly cloudy with day temperatures between 5 and 9 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
Hi there, listener. This is Radio Prague International and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, a special plane is taking Czechs home from Chicago as part of major repatriation efforts. A volunteer project is set to deliver open-source ventilators to Prague hospitals in the very near future. Street people in the Czech Republic are in the spotlight due to the coronavirus pandemic. And later, one teacher shares his experience of communication following the closure of universities and schools. Over 4,000 Czechs stranded around the world by the coronavirus crisis have been repatriated this month, many on special government planes. The latest such flight will leave from Chicago on Tuesday evening, taking 170 Czech citizens in difficult situations back to Prague. I discuss the special flight and related issues with Zdeněk Beranek, Deputy Chief of Mission at the Czech Embassy in Washington, D.C. This special plane is leaving from Chicago on Tuesday evening. Who will be on the plane and why has this plane been organized?
The people on board will be Czech nationals that are currently located in the United States. We actually had quite a big interest in this flight. The capacity of the plane is rather limited, around actually 170 passengers. So we had to give priority to elderly persons, families with children, students that travel independently, and people that actually have no means cannot really afford to stay in the United States.
You said a few days ago that the plane was fully booked. How much interest in the flight was there? How many people wanted to get onto it?
Okay, so as I said, the capacity is around 170 passengers, and we registered around 250 people that were interested in the flight. So we had to make a selection which was clear and transparent, all those that were interested and unfortunately will not be able to travel on board this plane were informed accordingly. So again, we had to give priority to those in urgent need of repatriation.
And how easy is it for Czechs who are in the States and seeking to get home to the Czech Republic, how easy is it for them to book a commercial flight, or is it possible even?
Nothing is easy these days, unfortunately. People that are trying to travel from the United States to anywhere in Europe, including the Czech Republic, are facing many difficulties. Flights are being cancelled. The companies are not always communicating quickly. So people are very often left in confusion with their flights being cancelled. But it's still possible. That's the thing. You can still travel. There are still dozens of flights every day from the United States to Europe. As I said, it's not easy, but it's still possible.
And given that everybody who wanted to get on Tuesday's flight couldn't get onto it, is there a chance of a later repatriation flight from the US to the Czech Republic?
It's not very likely that we will organize another plane soon after this one, or another flight right after this one. On the other hand, we will keep informing our colleagues in Prague at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs about the number of people that are stranded here or that indicate interest in repatriation, and it's up to Prague to decide. But currently, it's still possible to travel by commercial flights, and we will provide any possible assistance to the Czech nationals here in order to be able to travel to Prague, to the Czech Republic.
Obviously, the coronavirus is hitting the US very hard at the moment. What particular concerns are Czech citizens expressing when they call the embassy in DC looking for help?
The most common question, obviously, is about the flight. Another question which is related to this, some of the Czech nationals see their either visa or ESTA expired or about to expire. So we are giving them advice how to deal with this particular problem. There are, this is unfortunately a very small number of them, of people that are having problems with their travel insurance.
My final question is, how is the coronavirus situation affecting your day-to-day work at the Czech Embassy in Washington?
Already a couple of weeks ago, we started to work in two shifts. We have divided the embassy team in two teams, Team A and Team B. I'm in the Team B, which means that this week I'm working from home. I'm teleworking, and so are many of my colleagues. Team A is currently at the embassy. So this measure has been taken in order to prevent all team being infected or quarantined. So if Team A or Team B has, God forbid, a case of COVID-19, the other team can still work.
Zdeněk Beranek from the Czech Embassy in Washington. And we do, of course, hope that he and his colleagues all stay very well. The civic initiative COVID-19 CZ was formed just a few weeks ago to try to harness technological, medical and engineering know-how to help stop the spread of the coronavirus and treat patients in critical condition. The volunteer project now looks set to deliver open-sourced ventilators to Prague hospitals in a matter of days. Brian Kennedy reports.
COVID-19 CZ is comprised of founding members of IT companies and their colleagues who enlisted the help of experts in a range of other fields, including biomedical research scientists, hospital doctors working in intensive care units, and engineers specializing in electronics and manufacturing. The nonprofit initiative launched a crowdfunding campaign asking Czechs to help save the lives of moms, dads, grandfathers, and grandmothers. Their goal was to develop an open-sourced, low-cost ventilator from readily available parts, so as to prevent production bottlenecks and to deliver units to hospitals free of charge. COVID-19 CZ raised its 10 million crown seed money target within 24 hours with the help of over 7,000 donors. The prototype ventilator, developed under its Coro Vent project, was completed on Saturday. Initiative co-founder Pavel Dolezal, the CEO of data analytics firm Kabola, says he is confident, despite the possibility of fail points, that the first batch already will be delivered to hospitals next week. He says the ministries of trade and health are now both backing the project.
We still need tens of millions of crowns to build it, actually. The whole thing is prepared to be open sourced for the crisis. We already are in talks with large institutions all around the world, and everybody is waiting for the design because there's not too many other designs that would prove to be safe and functional. The critical thing is we need to first have 10 things working before we start open sourcing it.
COVID-19 CZ hopes to start producing the first batch of 100 Quadrovent units this Wednesday. They were developed drawing on 25 years of developmental work done at the Czech Technical University's Faculty of Biomedical Engineering, whose head immediately joined the project. Pavel Dolezal again.
I'm very proud of this Czech endeavor because it is one of the few projects that actually builds on the decades of professional knowledge and is done with a professional team of engineers and doctors. This is what we need to save lives. This is what is safe, what is not safe.
Apart from the data analytics firm Kabola, other members of COVID-19 CZ include telecoms operator O2 Czech Republic, anti-malware company Avast, search engine Seznam.cz, leading online retailer Alza, and the ride service Lyft2Go. Working together, they've also developed smart quarantine apps using anonymous data supplied by financial institutions and mobile operators.
Thank you for that report, Brian Kennedy. As the country continues its struggle to contain the growing number of coronavirus infections, some have pointed to the risks associated with the thousands of drug users and homeless people on the streets of the country. These may not only be at high risk from the virus, but if not isolated, could help spread COVID-19 in their towns and cities, as Tom McEncrow reports.
It is not just a lifetime of smoking that can make individuals particularly susceptible to a COVID-19 infection. According to the European Monitoring Centre for Drugs and Drug Addiction, the smoking of heroin or crack cocaine can aggravate chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases and asthma. At the same time, intravenous drug use can lead to HIV or hepatitis, illnesses which weaken the person's immune system. That hard drug users are often homeless and therefore exposed both to the elements as well as public spaces further compounds the issue, not least because they can act as uncontrolled spreaders themselves. To prevent the problem from getting out of hand, the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs has issued guidelines on how to work with these groups during the epidemic. These include contactless temperature checks and making lodging houses available at all times. Prague City Hall has gone further, moving the homeless into hotels, hostels and even considering the conversion of a brothel into a lodging house in order to get the endangered groups off the streets and thus minimise the risk of contagion. In Brno, city authorities are working with organisations like drug addiction support NGO Podané Ruce, or Extended Hands, in order to find the alternative housing. The NGO's director, Jindřich Vobořil, a former nurse, says he and his team are currently picking out places across Brno where emergency containers can be placed.
We want to put quickly, we look today across different parts of the city where we could put containers. This kind of containers, you can have toilets and shower, and you can cook, and so people can live there. So we take them quickly from the street, and our outreach team is going around and trying to offer to measure their temperature and offer them to come out of the street. And we're also organizing some kind of a quick slip-in possibilities in tents. So we want to open a kind of a little tent town.
However, right now, he says the main issue is a serious lack of testing kits. Without being able to know who is infected, there is an ever-present danger that social services staff could get the virus or infect the homeless themselves.
We have a big debate whether we should put our people in risk or put the whole city in risk, or how do we do it? Yes. So what we're trying to do is to get as much as possible protective material, protective suits and facial masks and gloves and, I don't know, everything that we need to have. And the people.
The only other option, Mr. Vobotil says, would be not to do anything.
Now, the coronavirus pandemic is, of course, already changing our lives. Many everyday activities have moved into the virtual world. This applies especially to our social life, but increasingly work and learning as well. Psychologists say that the key to getting over this difficult time is to stay in touch and not get into isolation. Veet Pohanka describes how he deals with the problem with his foreign students at the University of Pardubice.
17 and 10 minutes? Okay, yes. Yeah.
Tina Enders, a student of social sciences, is in the German town of Fulda. We are in touch over Skype and email, like with other participants in the course of communication in English at the University of Pardubice, Eastern Bohemia. Apart from her, there are two students from Spain, one Czech, three Ukrainians and one Iraqi. They major in different fields and they all came to the Czech Republic on Erasmus and other exchange programs to study for a few months. When the crisis started, Tina decided to go back to Germany.
Well, it was kind of an emotional decision. I expected that all that regulations are getting more strict, and that was the reason I decided to go back. And I was looking for the trains to Germany, and I saw that after Friday, all trains or buses are cancelled. And after it, there's no possibility for me to go back anymore. So I decided to go and to live the next days, months with my family in Germany.
But the journey across the border wasn't easy.
I traveled to Prague and then to Cheb. And then I walked to the border. I thought it's easy to cross it. But the police said that border I chose is closed. And then I got a taxi to another border. And then it was also kind of difficult because I think they didn't know what to do because I was by foot and everybody else was with a car. And we had discussions about crossing the border. And yeah, after a few minutes, they said, okay, let's go. But I think they didn't know what to do exactly. And you can imagine that if you want to go out of Czech Republic, there is no problem for cars. You can go to Germany. But to go in Czech Republic, I don't know how many kilometers cars, and they were really stressed.
Once back home, Tina started a routine, which is more relaxed, but doesn't mean that she resigned from her studies, even though she is hundreds of miles from Pardubice, where she is supposed to be.
Cooking. I think we can do many things inside or just getting a little relaxed right now. The online studies and to finish semester. And I hope we can go back. But yeah, one can't say it right now.
And that's the key, not to lose contact. That's why we are keeping in touch regularly, even if it means just a short chat over Skype to discuss the main assignment, written essays of some 500 to 600 words, one for each week. One of the Ukrainian students, Victoria Markovska, also decided to go back home, which in her case is Kiev.
I decided to go back to Kiev because first I don't have a visa. I applied for this, but I had to come to Pardubice if I'm not mistaken, like 15th of February, and at that time my visa was not ready, so I decided to go to Pardubice and then maybe to come back here for getting a visa. This is the first reason why I came back to Kyiv. The second is because it's better to be with my parents, for me and for my parents, because we would be nervous and, I don't know, just it's easier to be together and to communicate, you know. And I can study here from home online, so it doesn't matter where to do this, in Pardubice or at home.
While Victoria is at home in Kiev, her fellow Ukrainian student, Daria Marinets, chose to stay put in Pardubice.
I'm alone. I had a Turkish roommate, but after the government of the Czech Republic provided emergency state, almost all Turkish students were made to come back in the country. And the university as well asked them to come back. That's why now I'm alone. And I hope that it's even safer now to live alone, because I even don't have like 2 meters distance between beds. So it's quite better to live alone in this situation. No, I'm not worried. I try to obey all quarantine preventive measures, and that's why I'm worried more about my parents in Kiev and my grandma in the south of Ukraine, because now the situation is in Ukraine getting worse and worse every day. That's why I'm more worried about them, not about me.
One of the countries hit hardest by coronavirus pandemic is Spain. So no wonder that the 2 Spanish participants of my seminar stay in the Czech Republic. Like everybody else, they are in touch with their close ones. And it's not always emotionally easy for Ana Delgado Cardenas, whose father is a hospital worker.
He's not that scared. For example, my mother is super scared because, I don't know, her husband is working in the hospital. Her child is in another country and everything. So, yeah, she's like, is the most worried. Yeah. For me, I never thought of going back to Spain. I always knew that I was going to stay here, not only because of the Spanish situation, which is much worse than here, but because I didn't want to be exposed to catch the virus at the airport or something like that and spread it to my family and everything when I come back to Spain. So my decision was clear from the very first moment. I was going to stay here, and I'm going to stay here till I can go back.
Says Anna. Her fellow student, Elena Nunez, was a bit hesitant whether to stay or go back home.
I thought I was clear about the situation, but sometimes, like 2 days or more or less, I've been thinking about go to my country, to Spain, but I think I'm going to stay here because it's safer here than Spain. And it's like Anna said, we cannot exposed to airports and public transport, and then go home and visit our family. It's so dangerous now.
Yeah.
It still feels a bit strange. Just a few weeks ago, we were meeting in a seminar room at Pardubice University. Now we are hundreds, even thousands of kilometers apart, yet we meet regularly. The teaching and learning have moved effectively into virtual reality. Ibrahim Alameri is a doctoral student from Iraq. His specialty is computer networks, so he was probably better prepared for our present situation than most of us.
The most important component of PhD students, not just me, for everyone, it's included reading and writing papers, okay? I make connection with other research from my field to ask them, okay? Every day I may spend about 6 up to 8 hours on my work. After that, I can have some time for exercises or socializing and so on. It's a global issue over the world, as you know. It has stopped all the live, all the delay live activity, okay? throughout the world. However, I think we must thank the modern technology like internet, application of communications, and so on, because it's easy to connect with family, with friends, with school, college, supervisor, and so on.
Ibrahim Alameri, a doctoral student at the University of Pardubice. Online education is nothing new.
The president of this new online partnership, which is what they're calling it, Harvard and MIT, says this is the biggest change in education since the printing press, which is...
Here's just one example. The American CNN News Channel reported some 7 years ago that even two of the most prestigious educational institutions in the United States, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and Harvard University, started offering free online courses. So why did it take a world pandemic for this type of education to really take off? I asked a Czech economist and author Tomáš Sedláček.
I think we were shy and also unwilling to, because we have been so used. I, as a teacher, and you must know this too from your teaching experience, I couldn't really imagine how to do a lecture online with 30 students in class. But I have started doing this with my bank, because I couldn't simply, out of my capacity, I couldn't travel all around the Czech Republic, and some of the lectures abroad I have also done through Skype. And they weren't bad. Some of them were actually more enjoyable than the physical ones. We've both had enough of the physical ones, so this one is slightly more entertaining just because it's new. But also I can cater to many more people. Also, when I do a lecture, it's usually for 200 or 300 people around Europe. But then on YouTube, it has thousands and thousands of listeners. My article about coronavirus had more than 1 million readers, which is crazy, which is something that I could never lecture to. And even in our lectures, we very often use amplification through speakers and microphones. That's something that wasn't possible before. So this is yet another amplification, and we have just been nudged into using it. And I must say that not only us, but also Ivy League universities begun offering very, very interesting courses and lectures on the internet for free. So that's another thing that we could do during the standstill, is a lot of people can finish the education that they wanted for a long time. So as you say, it's a sort of another nudge of don't be shy to start using the internet as the main platform of work for many people.
Czech economist and university teacher Tomáš Sedláček. This is perhaps the first positive outcome of this crisis. It's making us do things that we could do before, but we're just too set in our ways to try them out. Vít Pohanka, Radio Prague International.
And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today on Radio Prague International. From me, Ian Willoughby, thanks a lot for listening, folks, and speak to you very soon.